As we think about being thankful in difficult times, that's what my message is going to be about this morning. Because I don't think I need to convince you that we've had some difficult times in these last number of months. But before I want to do that, before I get into that, I do want to share something with you and just share a word of prayer. A prayer of thanksgiving, really, and to thank God for all that He's done. This was written to us as Grace Church from Luke and Norma Lehman. Many of you know Luke and Norma, and they have not been here since COVID started, and now Luke is kind of going through some chemo again because of the leukemia that he had, and just because of his severely compromised immune system is not able to come, but Norma wrote us a note to give us thanks. And it says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." So I'm thinking about their situation and their life. And, you know, they're going through a pretty difficult time right now. And Norma still had time to say, "Thank you, God, for the people that you've put in my life." It says in the inside of the card, "In everything, give thanks." That's from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And Norma wanted to thank many of you and all of us and thank God for all of you. And she wrote us a note. It says this, "Pastor Ted, Jess, and Grace EC friends, Luke and I pray for you all and your well-being. We want to thank you for all your prayers, phone calls, cards, and many kindnesses. We give thanks to God for Pastor Ted and Jess and all who work to keep our church open in whatever way is necessary to get God's word out to His people. Special thanks to Steve and Gary and all working to record, produce, and deliver the DVDs from each Sunday service. So we, as part of what we're trying to do for people that aren't here because of COVID, not everybody can live stream from home. So we actually record all these and we make DVDs out of them and we give them to anybody that would like DVDs. And so Luke and Norma are recipients of those DVDs. And this past Sunday, this was written on November 16th, this past Sunday we finally watched Why Church. That was a message I preached the last Sunday of October. And we were so blessed by it. We felt a needed renewal in our hearts and minds as to what God has done and will do through His people and the church. It certainly intensified our need and love for the church and made us long for the day when Luke's health allows us once again to worship God from the pews with our friends at Grace. Your prayers are heard and Luke is slowly improving. We look forward to 2021 as I know you all do. And pray God blesses us with a more healthy year. Blessings to you all, Luke and Norma Lehman." I just wanted to share that. I appreciated Norma taking the time to, and Luke writing that thank you to all of us. And just use that really as an example of exactly what I'm talking about, of being thankful in difficult times. That you heard in her letter, there was a multiple things that she was saying thank you for. Even though they've had a pretty rough year and stuff with Luke's cancer has been coming back with Luke's leukemia and slowly improving, but still has a road to go and recently had some cancer spots removed from his scalp, I believe is where they were. So they're just having a difficult time, but in the midst of their difficult time, they wanted to say thank you. So before I begin with Psalm 34, I just want to do that. I want to have a prayer of thanksgiving before we open up the word. So let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for speaking this world into existence and giving us life. Thank you, God, for sustaining this world to this very moment. Thank you, God, that you are Lord of lords and King of kings. God over all gods, your love endures forever. Thank you, God, for loving us enough to send your Son to live the life that we couldn't live. And though we rebelled against you, Jesus paid for our fines and our sin and died in our stead. And God, thank you for raising him back up from the dead after 3 days and for Jesus' promise to give us your Holy Spirit, who now dwells within each one of us. God, if that was all you did, you've done more than we deserved. And so we thank you for your rich mercy. God, we're thankful for your slowness to anger, as your word tells us, that it isn't your wrath that endures forever, but it is your love that endures forever. God, we are thankful too for the way that you work in your people's lives. We're thankful for this testimony from Luke and Norma of how you've worked in their life. In a very difficult time for them, Lord God, they still have time to be thankful. God, may you bless them for their love for you, for their desire to live for you, their heart for your people, Lord. God, we're thankful that you have heard our prayers on behalf of Luke, and we're praying for his continued recovery. God, for many other brothers and sisters that would be here but aren't because of COVID, Lord, we pray for their health, for their physical health, for their mental health, Lord, for their well-being. Lord, I'm sure people have gathered here this morning that have concerns over physical things going on in family or friends. God, we thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers. We thank you, God, that you love us enough to be concerned and interested in our lives and what's going on in our world. God, we thank you for this place that we have to gather, Grace Church, in this country in which we are free to do so. God, we thank you for the family that you've given us, this Grace Church family, and for the opportunities that you give us to share in the work of what Jesus has come to do, and that is bring people that are lost to be found and into a right relationship with their Creator. God, thank you for the many ways that you have done that, even through this time of 2020. And we want to thank you, God, for the many ways that you will do that as we keep moving through this year. And until Jesus returns, we continue to be faithful to the mission you've given us, to spread the good news of what it means that Jesus Christ has come. So this morning, Lord God, as your people, as the congregation gathered here at Grace Church, we say thank you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Being thankful in everything is kind of the key this morning, the concept we're trying to get after. The concept we're trying to get after because sometimes it's pretty hard to be thankful in everything. And that's what that card said. Paul writes that to the church in Thessalonica, to be thankful in everything. The psalmist is going to try and help us figure out, I think, how to do that. Because Psalm 34 is not really about, it's not a thanksgiving psalm. It's not just one giant song or poem written as a thanksgiving to God. But how I want to use it, because it is an instruction psalm, it's a psalm for teaching, I want to see if we can learn something from it that enables us to be thankful in everything, to be thankful in difficult times. You know, we as a culture celebrate Thanksgiving. Not every culture in the world has a Thanksgiving holiday. It's something that's very American. We celebrate Thanksgiving because of what our ancestors did at Thanksgiving in a very difficult time where half their families died when they landed on these shores. The ones who survived by harvest time, they saw as an opportunity for them to give thanks. In the midst of a very difficult year, they wanted to give thanks. And that's the only reason we have this. It's not just to have days off from work or to get ready for Black Friday and do everything that happens on Black Friday. It's not just the prep day for that. It's actually to be thankful, and maybe for the first time in a while, at least in my thinking, it's the first time I kind of had a pretty difficult year and could find reason, like our ancestors who also had difficult years, to still be thankful. And of course, their purpose as coming to these shores, contrary to popular teaching nowadays, all the people that came and landed on these shores are not evil, horrible scoundrels. They came to worship in freedom, and they did that, and they decided after that first difficult year to give thanks to God. And I know in November of 2017, the New York Times wrote an article that said, "Everything you were taught about Thanksgiving is wrong." I realize that's the claim, and I remember being at Penn State and having a professor tell me, or actually a sub before the professor tell me, that everything your high school, this was a history class, everything your high school teacher taught you was incorrect. And I raised my little hand and I said, "Well, why should I believe you? If everything they taught me was a lie, then how do I know I can trust you?" So contrary to popular teaching nowadays, our ancestors that began this day began it because of a difficult year, understanding that there is still reason to give thanks. So much so that our culture at one time decided we're going to make a day out of it. And we're going to use this time to say there's plenty of reasons for us to be thankful. Even in difficult times, even in difficult years. And Psalm 34 is going to be our way of helping us see why we can still be thankful, as our ancestors sought to do when they celebrated that first harvest, where many loved ones had passed because of the harsh winter and yet found reason to be thankful to God. I think there's reason for us to be thankful to God, and the psalmist is trying to help us figure out those reasons. As I said, this isn't necessarily a psalm simply for Thanksgiving, that we just say, this is all the words in the psalm say, "Thank you, God, for X, Y, or Z." I'm going to try and do that for us. This psalm, I think, helps us do what I've just said, to be thankful in difficult times, because it points us in the direction of who God is. How do we be thankful in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of some struggles? So before I get into Psalm 34, there's 22 verses. It's kind of broken out in this way. As they would have gathered, much like you and I have gathered here in this church, David, who wrote this psalm, as the people gather, he encourages us to praise God. So he's trying to point us in the direction of God. He gives some personal testimony of why he is thankful, that he doesn't say, "Thank you, God," but basically that's what he is saying without using the words "thank you," because David has experienced something in his life in which God has delivered him from. And so he's thankful, and he's giving us some insights of why we can be thankful and why he was thankful in a difficult time. And then verses 8 through 22 are really trying to teach the reader, the hearer, something about God, trying to help us see why we should rely upon God, why our reliance in this life should be on God. And if you were reading this psalm in Hebrew, it would be broken out for the Hebrew alphabet. It's called an acrostic. And so each verse starts with a letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and then they would memorize that verse, and that letter was to hopefully help them memorize it, which is something that was often done in wisdom literature. When you're trying to teach somebody something, you want to obviously help them remember it. And so you try and memorize that because it's going to help you think about it in your times of trouble, in your times of difficulty, is the intention. And it's going to help you in this life. That's what David is going to make the claim. If you want to enjoy this life, if you want to experience this life, the one here now as God intends, here's some things for you to remember. That's what verse 8 through 22 is all about. And so I'm going to read verse 1 through 22 all together. And then we're going to clarify a couple of words in that. And then I'm going to try and draw out some reasons why, as a result of reading this, we can be thankful in difficult times, because it shows us something about who God is. So let's begin in verse 1. Some of your Bibles, depending on the translation, might have this at verse 1. Some don't include this at verse 1. This is where we find out David is the author of this. This, what he is referencing here, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left, this is talking about a moment in David's life. And so David begins this psalm this way: I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Now that was David's way of pointing us in the direction of God. I will extol the Lord at all times. And you heard that word afflicted in there. Even those who are afflicted are called to praise and exalt God for who he is. And he goes on to share a little bit about a personal testimony. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. David's talking about his own personal experience. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. God's angel armies, as we sung about, encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. And so David is giving us some reasons why we can be thankful. Being thankful is a pretty important part of our lives. It's one of the first things you taught your children. Whenever they received something, they were supposed to say thank you. Because we believe that them developing that attitude at a very young age is going to go a long way for them in the future. It'll help them to be grateful for what they have by verbally saying to this person, thank you. And you're even more overjoyed when you don't have to keep saying, now what do you say? Because they get it. They say, thank you. And maybe you know some of those people that never say thank you. And you're probably like, oh, I don't really like that person. There's something about being thankful that helps us to have the right attitude. And I think David understands that, which is why he says to extol the Lord at all times. We're going to talk about what that word means. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. May the afflicted praise God and rejoice. Being thankful is an important part of our lives as followers of Jesus. And Psalm 34 gives us some instruction on how to do that and why we ought to do that and how that's going to help us, as David says when he talks about if you want to experience goodness in this life, whoever of you loves life, if you want to experience life the way God intends, here are some things to remember. So as I said, I want to clarify a couple of things. There's a lot going on in Psalm 34. We don't have time to clarify all of those things. But three things that I want to point out to you. Whenever you're reading the Bible, and there's words that you don't get or understand what they're saying, it's important, if you have a Bible that has footnotes, to read over those footnotes. Or if you're interested, they have all kinds of easy-to-read commentaries that say, what the heck is he trying to say there? One of the issues we have in English translations is we don't always have the right English word for the Hebrew word. They don't translate perfectly. And sometimes we use English words because we're afraid to translate what the Hebrew actually said. So, for example, in verse 1, I will extol the Lord at all times. Well, none of us ever use the word extol. And that's not the Hebrew word that was used in that verse, actually. It's the Hebrew word that's used in that verse. We, in other places in the Old Testament, translate that bless. I will bless the Lord at all times. And that's where the translator hat comes off, and too many people put the theologian's hat on and say, well, we can't really bless the Lord because it makes it sound like God's in need of something. Like God's after our praise and he wants that and he's looking for it. He needs our praise. We need to bless God in some way to make him sufficient, that God isn't contained within himself, that he needs us to do that. And so because of that theological problem for some people, they use the word extol, and they do it often in the Psalms. Yet if you look at that Hebrew word all over the Old Testament, the word that is used is bless. I will bless the Lord at all times. And it doesn't really concern me with what the theology behind this is, because I think what David is after, as a commentator wrote, is that his desire and his purpose and his drive is to return to God what he has received from him. Because of David's thankfulness, his gratitude, in some way, he wants to bless God. And I think that's all Paul is saying in the book of Romans, where he says that our lives are called to be a living sacrifice. That our way of blessing God, of saying thank you to God, is by giving him our lives. We often say, when we talk about our tithes, about giving our money to God, we give back to God what he's first given to us. And in some way, though God doesn't need our money, we bless God by showing, here's how thankful we are, God. Here, take it. It's yours. We want you to do something with it. To me, that is the natural response of thankfulness. Our desire as God's people to somehow say thank you to God. God's given us a lot. When was the last time I told him, thank you, God, for blessing me in this way? I want to bless you back by giving you what I have. Whatever that is, use it, God, for you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. If that is your attitude, you are going to be a grateful and thankful person. And I know Luke and Norman would be embarrassed if they're here, so they're not here. And they're going to probably hear this weeks later, so I won't get in trouble for it. They're a perfect example of this. That is their desire, to give back to God. They've gotten so much. God has shown them so much kindness, is what they would say. They want to give back in some way. And so she wrote that note to let us know that and to say thank you to God. That is how we show God thankfulness, by seeking to bless him, that our purpose and our drive is to give something of ourselves, of our lives, back to him. And that's how David begins this psalm. It's not a psalm of thanksgiving, but if that is your attitude, you are going to be a thankful person, and you will show gratefulness for all that God has done. Now, he goes on to say that the person who is going to do this, the person that's going to bless God for all he's done, the person that's going to experience life the way God intends, he says in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. That idea of the angel of the Lord, we sang about it. The angel armies that surround us. This is kind of what was going on with Joshua. If you remember in the Old Testament, and Joshua is about to charge into the promised land, and there's all kinds of people there, and he's got to take it. And they don't like the Jews, and they don't like Israel coming in, and so it's a pretty scary thing. And so before they get into the promised land, Joshua stands in front of the angel of the Lord. And he says, are you for us or are you for our enemies? And the angel of the Lord says, neither. This is my battle. What I need you to do is trust in me. And so if you read Joshua, when they did that, they marched around a city called Jericho, and the walls, they fell down. All they did was march around the place, and it just falls to the ground. And when they didn't trust God, you can hear about those defeats. This is my battle. David writes to remind us the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good, it says in verse 8. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And verse 9 says, fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. Come, my children, listen to me, he says. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now that phrase, come, my children, listen, happens all the time in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what the book of Proverbs says. So this is really trying to teach us something about following God. And in this psalm, David is connecting fear. And again, that English word does not mean terror. Come and be frightened of God. Be terrified of God. He doesn't have to encourage people to do that because that's just the natural response when someone faces God. When someone holy comes before you, if we're about to remember the shepherds at Christmas, when the angels came, they fell on their faces because they were terrified. That's not something you've really got to tell people to do. When you stand in front of a holy and righteous God, it's a terrifying thing. That's not what David's saying here. Fear of the Lord means to give reverence to God, to understand our life in light of our Creator, to recognize who we are in light of who God is, to have a healthy respect for God, thereby relying completely upon him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Those who fear the Lord are not going to lack anything. That's what David is trying to push us towards. He says, come, my children, listen. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, whoever of you likes, who wants to experience life and enjoy life the way God intends, whoever wants to have shalom, if you look down in verse 14, if you're in your Bible, it says, seek peace. That word is shalom. That is well-being, wholeness. If you want to experience that in your life, now, in 2020, in a pretty difficult year, David's saying, then you need to rely upon God, completely upon him. Not on anything else, not on anyone else, not on your own job, your own money, your own wallet, your own government, your own army, your own strength, completely and solely and utterly dependent upon God. That's the person, David says, who experience life the way God intends, who can have peace in the midst of a very difficult year. The good that God desires to do is not simply good in the sense of right and wrong, moral goodness, objectively right, though God is morally good. When it says, taste and see the Lord is good, the Hebrew word used is actually showing kindness, generosity. It's like this image of somebody giving you a gift or a present, something. It's kind of like this idea of hospitality and you providing some kindnesses for somebody. And David is saying, you can experience God in such a way that God will show you that goodness. This is not a word of moral goodness, but a relational goodness. It's actually saying that God's desire is to show us some kind of kindness. And so David's saying, if you want to enjoy this life, experience this life in a way that brings you fulfillment and wholeness and well-being, then you need to fear the Lord. if I can put that in modern day English terms, the fear of the Lord is making God priority number one in your life, that you are solely and wholly dependent upon Him. That's what I think the psalmist is getting at. Fear of the Lord is putting God first in your life. God, you take priority number one in all that I do and all that I am. And that is supposed to be true, this David is saying, because of who God is. We can take refuge in Him. We can rely on God. And David gives some personal testimony about it. But I want to give you, I think I have 9 insights. If you're looking for reasons in a difficult year of why I can say thank you, God, in the midst of 2020, you still want me to say thank you to God. Here's 9 reasons why you can. Thank you, God, that when we seek you, you answer us. When we cry out to you, you hear us. Thank you, God, that you respond, take action on our behalf. That is what David is saying. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. He's not just praying to some God out there, and I pray, and it goes up there somewhere, and I wonder if anybody listens, anybody hears. God is not only saying, I heard your cry. God is also saying, I'm going to do something about it. God responds and takes action. Norma says, thank you for praying for Luke. God is hearing your prayers. Luke is slowly getting better. Those who look to Him are radiant, it says in verse 5. Their faces are never covered with shame. He's basically saying, because of our dependence and reliance upon God, it changes who we are. It almost changes our expression as a people, because we are solely and utterly dependent upon this God who hears us, listens to us, actually takes action on our behalf. He protects us with His angel armies. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. Those who depend upon God, God will look after. Well, now you're saying that doesn't always happen. That's not always the case. Yep, you're right, it isn't. It wasn't the case in David's life. If you read 1 Samuel through 1 Kings, you will read that David's life wasn't just, hey, I trust in God and everything's going my way. Everybody loves me. Things are great. His own son tried to kill him. He ran out of town because his son tried to kill him. And yet, David writes, for those who fear Him, who put God priority number one in their life, the angel of the Lord encamps around them. And that's why Joshua says to all the people before they enter that land, as for me and my house, we will fear the Lord. We're going to trust and rely solely upon this God. The psalmist seems to say, if you want to enjoy this life, that's one of the keys to doing so. We can say, thank you, God, for protecting us. Thank you, God, that you are kind and generous to us, and we lack no good thing. Even the lions grow weak and hungry. The most powerful animal that they would have known at that time can run out of food, can run out of strength. And David says, those who fear the Lord never will. Now, that doesn't mean simply because we live in the United States of America, and I don't know about you, but there's not been one day that I haven't gone without a meal unless I've willingly given it up. There's people all over the planet that are supposed to read that same thing and say, those who fear the Lord lack no good thing. David's not writing this for when your life is wonderful and good and great. In difficult times, we can be thankful to God and say, thank you, God, that you are kind and generous, and your heart is to show us that kindness for those who fear Him, for those who trust in Him, rely upon Him. Thank you, God, for providing the way to enjoy life. Has life been very enjoyable for you in 2020? David's saying you can still enjoy it. Have you been pretty anxious over things in 2020? Come, my children, listen to me. I would teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life, that's this life, that's not just eternal life, that's this life that that David's talking about, and desires to see the good things in life and experience well-being, wholeness, to not be in constant turmoil and angst and anxiety. That's what David is talking about. If you want to experience that, he says, keep your tongue from evil, your lips from telling lies, turn from evil and do good. Seek wholeness and pursue it. Basically, David's saying, if you want to experience this life, you need to be honest with God. You say you rely upon God, and then the rest of your time, you don't even think about God. You say you trust in God, but God plays no part in your life on an everyday basis or your family's life. And you do nothing to show God that you have put him priority number one in your life. David's saying, you're not going to experience wholeness in this world. I use the word perspective, that we understand life in light of who God is. That helps us experience peace, wholeness. Not a cessation of war, not an absence of conflict, but wholeness in life. That I can, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of all the junk that's happened in 2020 with COVID, somehow I can still enjoy life. David says that's possible. In the midst of difficulty, we can say thank you to God for providing us a way to experience life the way you intend us to experience, in right relationship with you, that I'm honest with you about where I'm at. I turn from trying to do things my own way, and I follow your ways. That's how we experience the good life. Thank you, God, for giving us a way to do that in the midst of difficulty. That's what David was looking for. In the midst of the time in his life where he thought he was going to die, he sought the Lord, and the Lord responded to his needs. Thank you, God, that you see us and respond to our needs. You're not just a speck on planet Earth. You're not just a nobody. You're not just a number. God sees you and will respond to you. Thank you, God, for seeing us and responding to our needs. Thank you, God, that you will comfort us when we are beaten down and respond. Thank you that you will deliver us from all our troubles. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's what God's intention is, to be close to those who are broken down. 2020 did that to a lot of people. This year broke people down, and God says, I am there for you. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. When David says we are called to bless the Lord at all times, he's not just talking about times that are good. Here's a list of all the times in which we're called to bless God with our lives. That list isn't because our lives are perfect, because nothing bad is happening. That list is telling us at all times, no matter what's going on in our life, we have reason to bless the Lord. So as I conclude, here's what I think Psalm 34 is teaching us. To find wholeness in this difficult place, to enjoy life, to experience the goodness of God. Here's the recipe. Not COVID, okay? Don't get scared. All right. I've been doing a lot of talking today to find wholeness in this difficult place to enjoy life, to experience the goodness of God. One must fear the Lord. To be thankful in difficult times, I think the key is to trust God completely and solely. And if we say as God's people that we fear the Lord, here's the question that I have for us. How have you shown your reliance upon God over the last 9 months? I'm choosing those 9 months because that's when all of COVID happened. If the fear of the Lord in modern day English is putting God number one in your life, making him the number one priority in your life, how have you and I shown God in the midst of difficulty that he is priority number one in our life? I want to suggest to you that you will not experience life the way God intends if that is not the case for you. I'm not saying that. That's what Scripture's saying. I happen to believe what Scripture says. All over the Proverbs, all over the wisdom literature, when wise people and Solomon's trying to teach people about how do you experience life the way God intends, the refrain that always comes up, fear the Lord. Put your reliance solely and completely on God. Revere him in modern day English. Put God as priority number one in your life. I gave you a list, just pulled out of Psalm 34, of reasons why you can be thankful in difficult times. How we can experience wholeness and well-being in the good life in the midst of difficulty. I am convinced there's only one way that that happens. By fearing the Lord. By making God priority number one in your life. So I want to encourage you as we head into Thanksgiving this week. Have you done that? Think through some things. How have I shown God that you take priority number one in my life? And take an opportunity to say thank you to God. We've all experienced, all over this globe, a pretty difficult year. There's still plenty of reason to be thankful. Psalm 34 has shown us that the Lord is good. His love endures forever. We can be thankful that the God we serve desires to show us goodness. Taste and see by experience, David says, that the Lord is good. His love endures forever. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful for your goodness to us. The way that you have shown us that in multiple different points in our life, and I'm sure many people can give testimonies for that. God, we this morning just want to remind ourselves of, in the midst of difficulty, we are called to be thankful. And if we think about it just for a little bit, we can see the many reasons why we can give you thanks. God, I pray that as we leave this place today, as we get ready for all of our maybe modified celebrations for this Thanksgiving, God, I pray that we would ask ourselves, have we put you as priority number one in our life? Are we experiencing the life we desire to experience? And if not, Lord, maybe we need to do some reflection and see how we have put you first. God, may we this week take some time with our families and give you thanks for your goodness, even in the midst of difficulty. God, you are good. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.